Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city.
So we had some folks, I think, probably visiting with us for the first time. We're just proud you're here. I want you to come back and be with us at any opportunity that you can. Tonight, we'll begin our fall home Bible study series that will be at 6 o'clock. I believe Jerry's group, your group is here, and tonight at 6. If you've not been a part of those, tonight would be a great night to start as we're beginning that the fall series. You can pick up at any time, but it would be a great night. If you're not sure where you'd like to go, or we've kind of got them in sections, but you can go where you might feel comfortable. Be sure to see myself or Rob, either one of us or Jerry, Stan would help you. Almost anybody about where we're meeting. The book that we're going to be using is in the foyer. And so I hope that you'll take part of that and be involved in that that Bible study. And I think the bookmarks are back there that have the chapters we'll be studying and the dates of those studies. So come be a part of that with us. So that will begin tonight. But again, there'll be a group here each Sunday night. So you're welcome to always come to the building and participate in the assembly here at the building. Just to kind of let you know, because it's not almost here, but it's getting closer every minute, as September has almost passed us, which is hard to believe, isn't it? That September is almost over. This just seems amazing to me. And I know I'm not going to remind you that the 1st of October you'll get your Christmas cards from my office. I'm not going to remind you of that, but the 1st of October you're going to get your Christmas cards from the office. But our retreat at Crystal Springs will be coming up. I believe it's the 9th, 10th, and 11th. So I hope that you're making plans. That's a family retreat for all ages. And if you have little ones, our facilities are wonderful. They've withstood Nathan and Andrea's kids now for the last several years. And they make it, and they're able to... But you can even be comfortable with children because we're in a air-conditioned, heated facility with good, good showers and bathrooms. So it's really not rugged. And Ben Bennett cooks for us, which is hard to beat. I think Tony Holt is going to be able to come and be our speaker for the weekend. And we're going to meet this week. He and I are going to lunch together and kind of talk about a theme for that. So I want you to be a part of that. So make plans to attend. We'll have some more information on that, but that is the, I believe, 9, 10, and 11 of November. We're going to continue in our study of the Book of Acts, but I will tell you we had the Christian School Fall Festival yesterday, so my voice is a little hoarser than normal, but not in bad shape. It used to be where I was absolutely incapable of preaching the morning after. No comments on that from the foyer. But my voice was incapable of speaking. It's a little weak today, as you can tell, but better than most. But we had over a $52,000 night at the auction alone, not counting the rest of the day. That's not a record, but that's a pretty good day. For those of you who are professional auctioneers, you know if you can sell $52,000 worth of personal property, you've had a pretty good day and that you've worked pretty hard. So we did and had a good time, and several of you were there, and several of you donated, and several of you purchased things, and it was a good time all around, and helps a great cause. So thank y'all very much, and you do know that typically on that Sunday after, I'm not quite as long-winded, so congratulations. We'll continue studying from the book of Acts, the 8th chapter that Wilma read for us. We talked last week about how the church expanded because of the persecution in Jerusalem and the severity of that persecution. Because often when we just read it in the book, we don't think about how severe that persecution was, that immediately after the stoning of Stephen, immediately. And the text is emphatic that basically on that same day that Stephen was stoned, that the persecution broke out under Saul's approval and others, and they're dragging people out of the synagogues, and they're dragging people out of their homes, and they're beating them, and they're arresting them. I mean, it is a severe persecution of the first century Christians. And so many of them scatter out through Judea and Samaria, and I'm sure even to the Galilee. But they get out of the city of Jerusalem because of what's going on. And we talked about that they spread the church. It was like a fire that you stomp, and it spreads out. And instead of putting it out everywhere and ember lands, it creates another fire. And we're going to see that in Philip. Philip, like Stephen, was one of the seven that we read about, the appointing of those deacons who cared for the widows. Philip is another one of them. But in kind of religious terms today, when we talk about clergy and laity, he would have been another lay preacher. You know, in our fellowship, we don't really so much have that distinction. But we kind of get that, and sometimes we get a little bit that, you know, I'm the preacher, but most of you know me well enough that I'm just Teb. I'm really not, you know, the preacher, and I know none of you put me in a higher position because of that, which is a whole nother lesson. But, you know, that you do have this laity, clergy type thing, but what we see is that the gospel is spreading from individuals who are just members of the church, okay? And so Philip goes to a city in Samaria, not sure exactly which city. It might have been the city that was known as Samaria, where Ahab and Jezebel would have been. But anyway, he's in a Samaritan city because he had left Jerusalem. And so I want to mention that because I said, all right, we've got Stephen who has been stoned. We've got Philip who we know has had to leave Jerusalem. So not only have they been suffering persecution and they have left, and I'm sure taking a lot of people with them, but look at the hardship it puts on caring for those that the church cared for those widows. Because we've got two of the seven. One we know is left town. He's not a coward. He's just left town and God's using him. One of them's put to death. That makes a difference, right? You lose key people, it makes a difference. MTCS lost a football game Friday night, 21-20. We lost our starting quarterback in the first series of downs. And so we played with a freshman quarterback after that. It made a difference in the ball game. You know, whether Marcus Mariota plays today or not will make a difference probably in that ball game. Are y'all impressed I know the quarterback for the Titans? Has nothing to do with the John Wayne movie. How about that? It'll make a difference. The reason I share that, people make a difference. You and I make a difference. I'm just using those sports analogies because, you know, that's kind of it's football time in Tennessee, and that's a big deal for us in the South. But the same thing's true in the church. Not only are they undergoing persecution, you think about it, and people scattering, but it affects how the church is functioning, taking care of people that they need to take care of, because these folks who were designated to do that, you know, they're all being scattered. They're being persecuted. They're having lots of problems in dealing with this persecution, because this persecution is very real and very severe. So things are being disrupted. But Philip has left the area. And I want to talk for just a moment this morning, and maybe some others, in this fourth verse. I want to talk about the thee. Sometimes at a funeral, we talk about the dash, right? I want to talk about the thee in verse 4. Those who had been scattered, verse 4. It's verse 5. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah. Or in the translation I have, the Christ. The Christ. Proclaim the Christ. Now, we've talked about this a lot. We often will refer to the man Jesus as what? Christ or Jesus Christ, right? Which is not at all inappropriate. And we've shared this a whole lot of times. I just want to share it with us again. His name was Jesus. All right, his name was Jesus. Maybe Jesus bar Joseph. Jesus, son of Joseph. We know him as Jesus. That's his name. When people see him, this is Jesus. All right? They would not have called him Jesus Christ. They would have called him Jesus. Because that's who he was. That was his name. Now, after resurrection, they might have begun to call him Jesus, but probably would have called him Jesus the Christ, or referred to him as the Christ or the Messiah or the Anointed One, because as we've shared before, it's his position, it's his title, it's not his name. And so what Philip is proclaiming here is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King. That's the proclamation. He's not just talking to them about this man Jesus, but he's talking to them about who Jesus is. And that's the controversy, right? That Jesus existed is not a controversy. That Jesus taught is not a controversy. That Jesus was arrested and crucified is not a controversy. That's not really news. Everybody understood that, that was paying any attention at all. Because it's a big deal. And how do we know it's a big deal? Because the sun went dark and the earth shook. Right? So even if you're not into politics, all right, even if you're not into politics, and when I say that, I'm using this, we know this is a religious thing, but you're not into the news or what's going on. But in the middle of the day, one Friday, when you're looking forward to getting off and going to the lake or to the garden or to the football game or wherever you look forward to going on Friday evening, middle of the day, the sky goes black like night. Again, I've used this analogy. We all remember the eclipse, right? That's big news, right? The eclipse, big news. How many of you took off work to look at the eclipse? I did. The rest of you just aren't telling the truth. You might have been at work. How many of you were working, right? It's like I ask people the question. They say, are you working today? I said, rephrase that question. Are you at the office today? Yes, I can answer that question. But it was a big deal. But in the middle of the day, unexpected, unannounced, the sky turns dark and the earth quakes and there's damage in the temple. And then the dead are going to be resurrected and come in to see. You're going to see people. People are going to talk about, I saw my family member that had died years ago and they came in to see me. So none of this is a controversy about Jesus. That Jesus was and he crucified, that miraculous things happened around his death. Right? Everybody in this area is going to know that. Going to talk about it. It was big discussion. It's the biggest thing that happened. But Philip is teaching about the Anointed One, about the Messiah, about the Christ. Because it's not that this guy was just special, that he was a prophet, that he had a special message, that he died, that, you know, whatever happened when he died. The message is that Jesus is the Messiah, who is the King of the Kingdom of God, that the prophets have prophesied about. Right? We read about him in Isaiah. We read about him in Daniel. We read about the kingdom. Remember the statue in Daniel? These folks are familiar with that. If you're not, there's a statue that has the kingdom. And then the one kingdom comes and destroys the others, right? And lasts forever. That's the message Philip was giving them, that Jesus is the Messiah, the King of the everlasting kingdom of God. That's the news that he's preaching. The, not a Christ, not a teacher, not a prophet, not a good man, but the Messiah. The only Messiah. The chosen one of God who's come to do what? Deliver his people. And all the Hebrews were anticipating that, right? Yes. We're anticipating the Messiah to come. Now, their vision of Messiah is different, but they're anticipating the Messiah to come. And Philip says, boom, I'm going to tell you about the Messiah. He has come. The kingdom is near. The kingdom is here. The kingdom has come, not in its fullness, but the kingdom has come. And that's who this Jesus is, and he is teaching people. Because Jesus is the Messiah. What else is Philip able to do? Miraculous signs. He cast out demons. This is not euphemistic for mental illness. Although they suffered mental illness, I'm sure, in the early days. But sometimes we say, well, people just didn't understand that, and that's what they call demon possession. That's not what the New Testament is talking about. People were possessed with demons. All right? Jesus is very clear about it. The examples are very clear. People are given power by these evil spirits. Remember, they cast the evil spirits into to the swine. And you remember the evil spirits are even able to talk through the people, recognize Jesus, or don't recognize some people in their power. Remember that? When the guys got their britches beat off of them? Because they tried to cast out demons without the power and authority, and the demons whipped up on them? I mean, these real. And Philip, by the power of the Spirit of God, was able to cast out those demons and to heal physical ailments. People that were cripples, those who were blind, those who have physical ailments, were being healed. And people were seeing that and they're responding in great numbers to this message of the Messiah and the witness that Philip has through the power of God. And so then what's their response? They're baptized. They become believers. They're baptized into the name of Jesus. Luke will tell us. And the church now is growing in Samaria from what Philip has done. Now, there's an interesting man there. His name is Simon the Sorcerer. Is at least how we know him, because he practiced sorcery. He practiced witchcraft and seems to have practiced trickery. Okay? Practiced trickery. And what's his position among these people in Samaria? It's interesting. He has a lot of people who follow him. Okay? He has a lot of people who follow him. I'm not sure what he's able to do, but the people follow him, and he claims some special power. All right? The city was amazed, and all those people in Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. He boasted that he was someone great. Maybe he didn't claim to be God, but he claimed to be someone with special powers. Okay? And he's able to back that up. And so people began to follow him and believe in him. Now, that seems a little strange to us in a Western culture. But it really shouldn't, because we follow personalities a lot, even in the West, right? We might not expect them to have any divinity or anything special, but based on someone's message or ability, they can gather quite a following, right? They can. And for those who are not followers, they have real difficulty understanding why those who are followers. That's kind of the way all of that works, right? You know, and I think in a 20th century historic time frame that I don't know all that much about, although I have read some about Rasputin and his influence in the Russian palace in the early part of the 20th century, on the especially on the, are they called Tsarinas? Tsarina. All right, I'm doing good. Marcus Mariona, Tsarina, Penny. I'm going to quit because I'm batting 1,000. I have to share with you a little pause. This is an aside. Ben, who's not here, Mr. Bennett, my dear friend, reads all of our auction items at the Christian School auction. We had a couple we just didn't read. But one of them, we had something from Franklin that Ben read for us from the Snooty Fox. No, from the Snotty Fox. Which was the Snooty Fox. Which, you know, it's better the Snooty than the Snotty. And so we began to pick at each other after that. So, you know, when you're reading in a hurry, you just don't know. The Snooty Fox. And then, this was not an error, we had tickets for TPAC for the play that went wrong. And I thought, who did the marketing on that deal? Who wants to buy tickets to the play that went wrong? But we sold them. It was all right. All right. So, the Tsarina, as you remember, seemed to be very much a follower of Rasputin. But her son was epileptic. And so historians speculate that he was able to calm and maybe help with the effects of the epilepsy, or at least claim to, and maybe that was her great attraction to him. But again, there was lots of rumor of all kinds of, lots of innuendo of all kinds of things. But he at least had influence and power in the palace of Tsar Nicholas and his family. So this man, Simon, has influence in Samaria. People believe he's something great, and he's able to do some signs, some miracles, and they are following him. And so he hears about, let's go on to the next, to 12. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip. The sorcerer believes and puts that into action. They followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. Now here we got something interesting that's going on kind of from Samaria. We got the apostles now, because the gospel is just now spreading to Samaria, right? It's been in Jerusalem. But what do we say is going to happen? It's the outline of the book of Acts. You'll be my witnesses, Jesus said, where? In Jerusalem, and then in Judea and Samaria. So the gospel is just now spreading to Samaria. And so John and Peter are coming to see what's going on. How is God moving in this? What's going on among these people? What has Philip been teaching? What do they know? What are they studying? So Peter and John come from Jerusalem to Samaria, which is not a huge distance, okay? Politically, it's a long way. But geographically, it's not a long way, because we remember Samaritans and the Hebrews, the Jews, did not get along. And so they go to Samaria. What happens when they get there? They prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They have been baptized, but they have not received the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, Philip does, but the Samaritans had not. They had not received this special gift of the Holy Spirit. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we begin to see in the New Testament. I'm going to, in mindful of the clock, we'll pick up here, Lord wills, next week. But let's talk about this for a moment. That the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, and they're different, right? The Spirit gives different individuals different gifts. We see that those categories in the New Testament. These had not received the special gifts of the Spirit, but how did they receive it? By the laying on of the apostles' hands, right? When Peter and John, the apostles, come, then they begin to pray and lay their hands on them, and they begin to receive this special gift of the Holy Spirit that Philip has, because why? He had been with the apostles in Jerusalem, right? And they're astonished, and now Peter and John come and begin to lay their hands on these disciples, on these believers. We're going to look next week, because we're going to find Simon believed, but he had a struggle. Simon the sorcerer believed, and he had a struggle. And we're going to talk about Simon's struggle, and it's a struggle that you and I deal with as well. It's a struggle you and I deal with as well. So we'll talk about Simon. But these people believed the teaching of Philip, which was what? About the Christ. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, that he was God's chosen one who came not only as a sacrifice, came not only as a sacrifice, but also as a king, right? As priest and king. And on believing that, it changed their lives. And they gave their lives over to God and over to the service of God and had their sins washed away in the waters of baptism, as they confessed their belief that this man Jesus truly was the Christ. If you need to respond to that same message of gospel, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.